Well, hey, welcome to Crossroads Connection. This is a program where we have conversations around life, ministry, and culture. I want to thank everybody at the Truth Network for airing this program, and thank you to everybody who are listening right now, wherever you are listening from. I am joined with me right now is Jamie Buford.
It's me.
How are you doing, Jamie?
I'm doing well. How are you, Andy?
We made it to February.
We did.
It's like the year of January is over.
Yeah, and February is really cold.
It's been really cold. Yeah, it's been a cold February so far. It's been ice and a little bit of snow possibilities. And were you excited about the snow when it came last week?
I was excited about the snow.
Were you hoping for a lot of snow?
Oh, yeah. I didn't get as much as I was hoping for. But yeah. That's okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I kind of get to the point where if it's going to rain and if it's going to be cold, then you might as well snow.
Right?
You know,
they might as well give the old kiddies a little something to be excited about.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So here we are in February now, and we are still talking through all things when it comes to life, ministry, and culture. And we really do appreciate everybody really who listen. So wherever you're listening from on these Saturdays, we want to thank you so much for listening. And it's been a year.
It's been a year.
This is our 50th week of doing this.
Yeah.
And it's been a great year. And I want to encourage everybody that if you missed any of our previous episodes, you can go to crossroads.org/radio. And you can listen to any of the amazing episodes. Jamie, they can listen to you 50 times if they wanted to.
They can hear this voice 50 times.
50 times. You can also, wherever podcasts are, you can also find the Crossroads Connection. Are you a big podcaster?
Yeah. Oh, I'm actually a really big podcaster. Yeah, I was thinking about it a lot lately. Like, it's the new talk radio. Like, I don't listen to the radio.
I listen to podcasts. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I found myself listening less and less. Of course, we listen to the Truth Network.
Of course.
We do listen to the Truth Network, especially at Saturdays at noon.
Yes.
But I'm with you. I find myself listening more and more podcasts and episodic episodes and programs.
Yeah, you can really choose what topic you're interested in hearing about that day.
And there's a lot of things out there.
There's a ton of stuff out there.
So why not have some good news, like the Crossroads Connection podcast?
Yes, we do need more good news.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. So if you miss any episodes, go back and listen to any of the ones previously, and it will get you brought up to speed. And we've been in this year of Reach 21. It's been just over a month into our new year.
Right.
So what have you thought about the year so far, 2021? And when it comes to Reach, any thoughts on that?
Oh, I'm just really excited that we're doing it as a church. Like, with everything that's going on around us in the world and in the nation, it is exactly where I truly know that the Lord spoke that into your heart for Crossroads because it's what the church needs to be doing. And I mean, the church globally needs to be doing to reach people in these crazy times.
Yeah, I agree totally. And what I like about it is last year we went through transformation where we're reading through the entire Bible in the year together as a church, and we preached our way through it. And now we're circling back to just the Pauline epistles, the 13 epistles. And I've been studying through them for some time now. In fact, I just I felt so accomplished. I just submitted my year-long plan. You saw that, didn't you?
I was so proud of you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Now listen, in all fairness, I usually have that done in the fall for the whole next year.
You usually do.
But it's been such a weird year. It was really hard to navigate that.
Yeah. And 2020, I don't even remember when you got one together in 2020. That was crazy.
Well, 2020's was done pre-2020.
Oh, it was done pre? Okay.
Yeah, that was the cool thing about it is that we had already landed on transformation.
Oh, that's right.
It was like, wow, by February, March, we're like, this is a really good thing.
Yeah, we needed this.
Yeah, but planning for this year, this is a really tough one when it comes to just, you know, planning purposes. And so, we did it. And so now we're in Reach 21. And what I said, what I like about it is how we're able to circle back and go through now the epistles. And wow, those are incredible books. So if you're listening right now in February, we are in 1 Corinthians. We started in Romans, went through Romans in the month of January. Now we're in 1 Corinthians. I encourage everybody to spend some time in 1 Corinthians because it's powerful. I mean, they're all powerful, but yeah, we're preaching our way through.
Yeah, we sure are. So as you mentioned last month, we were in the book of Romans and you preached a wonderful sermon on salvation. And I want to let our viewers or our listeners hear that today. So we are going to hear a quick word from our sponsor, and then we're going to hear a bit of Andy's sermon on salvation.
Perhaps you've asked yourself this question: are you running the business or is the business running you? How might your teams grow if your teams were driving the business forward instead of you? You are sitting on a wealth of untapped opportunity. It takes courage to learn how to create a culture where your people are truly empowered to own their seats. My name's Cheryl Scanlon, business and executive coach. Working together, we'll go straight to your core challenges to sort through competing demands and realign to your highest priorities for measurable results. Visit c3advantage.net. That's c3advantage.net.
And who he is and what he can do. And he put those things together. So we're going to hit this often this year. And let me tell you why. Just this very, very sincerely why this is so important. Because I think we all understand the concept. Boy, if you get excited but you actually don't know how to do anything, you know, it's kind of like when you get excited, you bought a new piece of furniture you got put together, and you get real excited and you say you don't need the instructions, and now you got like six pieces left over, and now you have marriage problems, right? I mean, you've been there before, right? It's because you got real excited, we're going to do this, but you kind of ignore the knowledge piece of it, and you just kind of wing it. So now take that same idea into your faith. Real excited. You kind of know morally what's right and wrong, but where's the proof? Where's the scripture? Where's the gospel? And when you combine those two together, that's where you get strength. Because right now, on our doorstep and inside of our country, we are under major cultural attack against God's word. Major. And that's not anything new, right? We all see that. And we all see the moral attack that's against the Bible. It's every day. It's out there. It's no longer a secret. In fact, it's celebrated in so many categories. And yet here we are as a believer where we know, okay, that's wrong, but do we know why it's wrong? And can you stand apologetically and be have an account for your faith, as Scripture says? To be able to give testimony to why? And I think that's where most Christians stop and fail. We know things are wrong, but we don't have enough knowledge to actually talk intelligently about it, intellectually about it. And then the other side is, we see is also true. You got people who are really, really smart. They could quote things, they could pull things, and have zero people skills and zero passion, and all they do is fight, right? So it's both sides. My hope and desire is that you and I, as we, listen, and this is not a one Sunday great week. It's an ongoing thing. This is why, can I just tell you why church is so important, whether you're here or you're watching online? Because I hope and pray that every single Sunday, you are going to learn more about God than you did before. And it's going to equip you to better engage the culture around us. Because we're called to love people, whether we agree or not. And one of the greatest ways we can actually love somebody is when we mix zeal and passion together. See, lack of knowledge and lack of submission to all of that creates a lack of personal responsibility. We need to have personal responsibility, which means it's knowledge and submission both together. Number two is the second thing. When I talk about salvation to all, it's not just zeal and knowledge. It's also obedience and relationship. Again, these are things that have to be together. Zeal and knowledge have to be together. Obedience and relationship have to be together. You can't have one mutually exclusive to the other and walk in a fullness of what Jesus is calling us to do. You know, I made a statement a few weeks ago where I stand by this, and I believe it really truly, is that all of us as believers have the Holy Spirit inside of us, but not everybody is walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, right? We all have, like Jesus already gave us his Spirit. It's inside of us. The problem is that we're just not walking in that every single day. This is where obedience and relationship come to play. So let's continue reading in Romans 10, verse 4. He says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on law and really strictly on law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them." All right, so let me just stop there for a moment. What he's saying is that Jesus comes, and Jesus has a righteousness that he gives us because of faith in him. We talked about this a few Sundays ago. What does faith and righteousness really mean and look like? What does it mean to have peace with God, right? We talked through that, so go back and watch that again. Peace with God, salvation in God, right? Approach his throne of confidence. This is because Jesus comes, and because of Jesus' righteousness, we now can actually come and sing, "Holy, holy, holy." We can actually come this morning and actually pray. We can actually come and not have an unhealthy fear of God. We can actually come and have peace with God. And what he's saying is, at one point, by Moses' law, it was strictly based on whether or not you obey the law, period. That was the gist of it. Obey these laws, and I'll do this for you, right? We read through the whole Bible last year. How many times in the Old Testament do we see God say, if you follow my commandments, what does he say? I will bless you. I will make you a great nation. I will provide for you. I will be your God. And then we see at times they did that, and then we see times they didn't do that. And when they didn't do that, there was punishment, right? There was results to their actions, and then they would come back to God. And back and forth they went. If you're my people, follow my commandments, and I'll bless you as a nation. And that was pretty much the gist of it all the way up until Jesus comes. When Jesus comes, he says, I am the righteousness. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I didn't come to get rid of all the laws, which is why we don't just throw out the Old Testament. It's why we don't just throw out the commandments. Jesus actually comes to confirm and affirm them and fulfill them. So, verse 6 says this, but the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend in heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. What it's saying is that we can't do it on our own. That there is a righteousness that Jesus paid for all of us so that we can live righteous before God. In other words, it's not just obedience to the law, it's also obedience into a relationship with Jesus. Those have to be together. Again, wow, I can't tell you how often I see this and how tempting this is. In fact, Paul addresses it in Scripture. Let me go off on a, it's not my notes. I want to just give you a little side note. Paul actually addresses it. He says it this way, should we go on sinning so that grace abounds even more? And then he answers his own question and says, by no means, because we're dead to sin. And here's why I bring that up. Too often, people like to live, I guess what I'll call hyper grace. They kind of live in this hyper grace world where it's basically like, hey, I can just do whatever I want to do because Jesus forgives me and Jesus did forgive me. So I can live according to however means I want to live, right? I can walk and enjoy whatever, even if it's not found in Scripture. I can embrace culture. I can do what the world is doing and still be saved because I know that Jesus forgave me. Hyper grace. Paul addresses and says, yes, there is grace and you are forgiven, but the desire to live that way should be gone because that's not what Jesus came to do in our life. If you are forgiven and saved, the desire to be like the world should be gone, which means you and I shouldn't abuse grace over here. And so now you bring this into this context. This context is speaking about doing both. Yes, it is about grace. It's about following the law. But it's also about a relationship. You gotta have both together, because if you tip to one side, you become this kind of hyper grace. And what happens if you tilt to the other side? Boy, that's where legalism comes in. That's where there's places like, well, if you cut your hair, you're not saved anymore. Right, that's where the letter of the law way over here goes. But yet there's a balance between the two. This is why it's so important to understand that there's a combination of these both. We got to follow God's law, but there's also a personal, amazing relationship. See, the law set the pathway through Moses' writings that we actually have to actually do that. But then Jesus comes and actually does the work of righteousness for us so you and I can have this relationship with him. I hope that makes sense. Because I think there's so much abuse on both sides. There's people who abuse the law and there's people who abuse grace. And they still fly under this banner of salvation. But there's something in the middle. It's both and. The third one is this, number three. It has to come down to belief and confession. Again, salvation for all. It's zeal and knowledge. It's obedience and relationship. It's belief and confession. I think, again, this is an area where a lot of people, maybe even you who know Jesus, might not know how this is worded and the importance of this. In verse 8, it says it this way. In verse 8, Romans chapter 10, it says, but what does it say? And so, again, Paul is addressing, I want them to be saved. I need you to understand what righteousness and faith in Jesus really, truly is. And then he continues it and says, but what does it say? It says the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we proclaim. It's that close to us. It says that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. If we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, that God raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. Verse 13 is a wonderful verse. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But I want you to hear something. Instead of having to go to great lengths of righteousness by the law, we can immediately receive righteousness by faith because it's that close to us. It's in our heart, it's in our mouth, it's in the very breath we breathe. That is how close God is. It basically is combining what they would believe in biblical times when this was written. They would say that God is as close as your next breath, your breath going in and your breath going out. You breathe God in, you breathe, that's how close he is to you. God is not far away. He's not over here or over here. He's not some distant God. God is literally that close to you that the moment that we believe in him, the moment we confess, the moment we believe in his heart, that righteousness of faith, we accept that and receive that. That's how close he is. See, confession has the idea. It has the idea of being in agreement with it. The confession is that we agree that who God said Jesus is and who Jesus says he is himself, that we actually believe that. It recognizes that he is God. It recognizes that he is the Messiah. It recognizes that his work on the cross is the only way for salvation. Another way of saying it is this: mere intellectual agreement with the facts on the cross is not enough. Just believing it isn't enough. Just confessing it isn't enough. See, this is very important if you and I are going to reach people to have a full understanding of what does salvation actually mean. It's actually very simple. It really, really is believing and confessing. We have to believe in our heart, but that's not quite enough. We have to confess with our mouth. That's not quite enough. It's actually the combination of two. And when we combine those two together, we combine belief and confession, it results in righteousness and salvation. It makes us right before God and allows Jesus to come and to save us. And let's not forget, I don't want to overcomplicate this because I think it's very important. I love how Paul does this. As we said already, Paul in his writings, he kind of goes into this, a little bit of a deep dive into what righteousness really means. And then he just starts to really make it clear. He makes it so incredibly simple and clear, and it hasn't changed. I want to make this so clear. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you believe in your heart that he is who he says he is, and you confess with your mouth that he is the Lord, you will be saved. That is the simplicity. That is the good news gospel message. Now, we can make it as complicated as you want to make it. We can go down the road of all the terms and on all the different things and all the pathways, but at the end of the day, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and do you confess him to be your Lord and Savior? And if you do, he says that you are saved. He's as close as your next breath. The moment we believe. Jesus did, and he completed all his work. But don't miss our responsibility to call on his name. Which leads to the fourth and final point this morning of this. Again, it's not just zeal, it's zeal and knowledge. It's not just obedience, it's obedience and relationship. It's not just believing, but it's believing and confessing. And the fourth and final one is simply this. This is our part. I want you to feel the weight of the responsibility in point number four. Because up to that, again, I hope it was a good reminder, maybe some encouragement, maybe some conviction that's in there. For those that don't know Jesus, maybe it's a good understanding. Oh, okay, that's what it means. But now I want you to feel the weight of what and why reach is so important. It's found in the next verses. It's on hearing and faith. Verse 14, again, Paul is spelling out the pathway to salvation, starting with Moses, talking about righteousness and law and obedience and relationship and actually how to actually be saved. But then verse 14, he kind of puts it on us as believers. He says it this way. He says, how then will they call on him who they've never heard? And how can they believe in him who they never heard? The next verse, and how are they to hear unless they are sent? In other words, church, how in the world is somebody going to come to know Jesus and believe in him if they've never heard of him, if they've never heard the gospel? And how are they going to hear the gospel unless somebody actually tells them the gospel? And how is somebody going to tell them the gospel unless they actually believe that they're sent to actually tell them the gospel? In verse 15, it says, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? And I love this verse as it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. Guess who that's speaking of? It's talking about me and it's talking about you. See, this is the importance. This is the weight. This is why reaching people is so critical and why you and I having a good grasp on what it means, because it does also say that they've not obeyed the gospel. They've not all obeyed the gospel, because Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith, watch, faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. How is the triangle actually going to know Jesus unless they hear about Jesus? And not just, oh yeah, I've heard about God before. No, no, hear about Jesus and who he is to you and to me. We can't lose sight of our responsibility here. Again, take those names of people. Take your neighborhood, take your school, take your workplace, and just put them in the they. That is who they are. How will they believe if they don't hear? How are they going to know Jesus unless they actually hear Jesus told to them? And how are they going to hear if I don't share the good news? See, I told you before that we've got evangelism backwards. Most people's use of evangelism is just to bring them to church and let me tell them, and I'm more than willing to do that, and we're doing that this morning, and that's still a great thing. But here's the thing, we've all been sent. All of us. We've all been commissioned. We've all been empowered. And let me just tell you, you and I preach every day of the week, all week. We are preaching messages. So what's the title of your message? When people look at you and hear your message, what kind of God do they think you serve? See, that's the weight, church, that we need to feel. That I need to feel, that you need to feel. That we can come in here this morning and we can encourage each other, and hopefully you learn some things this morning. Hope you feel a little bit more better to walk through this. But when we leave the walls of this building, when we leave here or wherever you are watching online, when we leave, we have that responsibility then. So again, who are they? My prayer even right now is in a good way that the Holy Spirit just starts to convict our heart. That he starts to put names and faces. He starts to put neighbors and coworkers and classmates, that we would feel that responsibility. That our desire and our prayer would that be that they would come to know Jesus. I want to close with maybe something that will help you. Again, for some of you, this is going to be something that you know pretty well. Others of you may have never heard it this clearly spelled out. And I want to walk you through real quickly as we close what's called the Romans Road to Salvation. A lot of you have heard that terminology before, but you may not know what that is. And basically what it is it's a group of verses in the book of Romans that clearly spells out why we need to be saved, how we can be saved, and just clearly spells it out. Again, if you and I are going to reach people, it'd be helpful for us to actually know this. And for those that might be hearing it for the first time, my prayer, as I said earlier, is that the Holy Spirit and Jesus would just touch your heart and say, okay, I get it now. I understand. And here it is real quickly. It starts in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, where it simply says, no one is righteous, no, not one. There's nobody righteous. We've all fallen short. Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and all fall short of God's glory. So again, it's the commonality. We've all sinned. None of us are righteous. We've all fallen short. Romans 5:8 says it this way. It says, but God showed us his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. all sin just leads to death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Romans 10, 9 and 10, we just read it. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Romans 10, 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is the pathway that is set before us. I acknowledge that I am not righteous. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I acknowledge that Jesus came, even though I didn't know him, and he gave his life for me on the cross. I acknowledge that if I believe in my heart and confess him as Lord, that I'm saved. And I acknowledge that this salvation is for everyone. That's the good news. That's the message that is beautiful when we go out of this walls to share it.
Thank you for joining and listening to our program today. And thank you to Crossroads Fellowship and the Truth Network for making this show possible. You can find out more information about Crossroads Fellowship at crossroads.org. If this show has impacted you, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at info@crossroads.org. Thank you to C3 Advantage for sponsoring this program. We look forward to having you join us on the next show.
Your success as a leader hinges upon buy-in from your teams, clear and consistent communication from you, and strategic delegation. My name's Cheryl Scanlon. C3 Advantage helps you steward your most valuable resource well, improve retention, grow employee engagement, and generate higher team and individual ownership. The success of your organization begins with you and depends on your team. Go deeper as a leader and watch your organization go further. Visit c3advantage.net at c3advantage.net.